Good evening, and welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. With us this evening are eight gifted artists: Abby, Jaslaney, McKenna, Olivia, Miranda, Tori, Anna, and Julie, students who have studied art together for 2 years with their teacher, Tara Leach, in the International Baccalaureate Visual Arts program at Neelan High School in Brandon, Manitoba. This March, with guidance from Ms. Leach and together with curator Alyssa Furon, the students have brilliantly presented their artwork in the exhibit Art, Whatever That Means, at the Art Gallery of Southwestern Manitoba in Brandon. Each of the students tonight will share their story and insight to their discoveries during their artistic journeys, experimentation with their artistic processes, and some of their in-between experiences as they explored their creative styles and techniques to produce a number of extraordinary, innovative pieces for this exhibit. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much to all of you for joining us this evening. We're going to start with Abby. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
You opened the Neelan High School exhibition, Art, Whatever That Means, with a dynamic and riveting performance piece. Who I Choose to Be is None of Your Concern. Can you describe your performance and share with us what was involved in creating this live installation?
Okay, so this performance was, in my eyes, an attempt at completely destroying these stereotypes of what women should look like. As females, we have such a large expectation in how we present ourselves, and as a result, the way we look becomes such a stressful thing in our lives, and it results in a lot of low self-esteem in young girls especially. So this performance piece was an attempt at just like completely obliterating all those stereotypes and ideas that are forced on ourselves and showing that none of that matters, and essentially who I or who we choose to be is none of anybody else's concern except ourselves.
And so what was involved in the performance piece? What did you do?
So like, a lot of looking around for different items and such. So a lot of looking online at different sites and just trying to find items. A table, I had to go to a carpet emporium and looking for like scrap carpet so that I could use that as a base because I knew all the paint was going to like drip off. Going to thrift shops and looking for items that I could use to place on top. Using old makeup and razors, nail clippers, all that kind of stuff, and placing that all on top of the piece. And I do fluid art, and that's when it's paint, water, latex extender, and I used that and put it into a whole bunch of smaller cups. And when I did my performance, I used all those to drape the paint across all the items on the table.
And what inspired your intriguing exhibition title, Art, Whatever That Means?
So our group that doesn't necessarily have a specific style, we don't really have a theme to all of our work, more so the fact that we're kind of like all in-betweeners. We've grown as individuals, developing our own styles, leaving behind prior conceptions and criticisms of what art is and creating new meanings for ourselves. We believe that art is perceived differently by every viewer. So similarly, we create our own styles and techniques. We are not a group of refined artists who follow the rules of art. We have our own definition. We have this idea called ish. So to be ish is not to be perfect, approaching, almost there. And it's our journey to becoming what we believe perfection is. And it's not necessarily the goal of our art making, but to be satisfied and to be able to express the art that we love to make.
Well, I want to thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And next we have Julie. And you have a captivating style of portraiture expressed in luminous acrylic colors and black and white charcoal sketches that sensitively share various stories with your viewers. And also in reading your article in the Brandon Sun about your class exhibition, you have a flowing, smooth style of writing stories. Do you find your visual and written expression combined to enhance your style and techniques for telling stories? And in what ways?
I suppose I see a lot of similarities between both my writing and my visual art. I think I have kind of a tedious, slow way of working. I'm pretty deliberate in both writing and in painting. And I think it's just because throughout the process of writing and painting, I'm always trying to grasp for that sense of passion to get across my story to the viewer or the reader, to get them to really care about the story that I'm telling the way that I care about it.
As you develop your own style of sharing your stories with your audience, what stands out for you from your studies of various master artists that have come before you, and did this insight influence your own creative expression and artwork?
Yeah, when I was creating my exhibition pieces, an artist that I felt really drove my intentions was probably Pablo Picasso, because I really enjoyed how he went from being a traditional realist artist and eventually developed cubism, which was so exciting and new. And so throughout my exhibition pieces, I really wanted to celebrate the work that I've put into trying to achieve realism, while also being able to branch into more abstract works to tap into the more spiritual or inner places that can be expressed through art.
Is that what you felt as you were doing your portraits, for example, Joan?
Yeah, that one was actually a bit more influenced by Van Gogh's style. That was a painting of my Nana, and I saw a lot of similarities between my Nana's character and the character that comes across of Van Gogh in his letters to his brother. And so I wanted to create a portrait that likened her to him through using his more abstract style to sort of tap into who she was as a person and not just her external appearance.
It's a beautiful portrait. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us, and I wish you success in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much.
Hello, Susan.
Jaslaney, a couple of questions for you. In your works, the colors, patterns, the added objects, and titles express some powerful ideas. Can you tell us about your process to create these visuals that develop the messages and what you've discovered as you've explored your style and techniques of expression?
I start with like a normal sketch. And with the time, I add enough stuff, and I'm creating like a story with her. Sometimes I will put like symbols in there, and I will say one of my pieces has candles, and I'm like, okay, the candles mean the light she has left in herself. The only light that is keeping her going, like, could be a family, an animal, or a memory that's keeping her alive and everything. So I like telling the stories like that.
Did the audience response and that of your classmates to your artwork give you a different perspective of your own art and how your message may be interpreted or enhance your sense of what art means?
Yes, a lot of people saw of a different style than I was thinking about. Most that I got, people reacted more in my golden type. It's the heart and the hands around it. People saw if there were like people around them, like being with them or something. In that specific piece, I wasn't thinking about myself. I was thinking about people. I wanted to hear people's reaction and everything because I wanted their opinion.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your perspective, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, Tori. From your painting titles and the dynamic movements and moving bursts of colors, such as Dreams Come True, the rhythmic movements and the dreaming seems to be a significant theme for you. Can you elaborate on how this style and theme, or themes in general, are important in your works? And is there a master artist or artist who may have inspired them?
Yeah, honestly, there's only really one reason why I use the theme dream. With most of my works, as you can probably see in most of my titles, I do have the word dream in, is that I personally don't dream at night. And I find that it kind of takes like a lot away from me that I can't dream. And I think that's why I like to use it in my paintings, because it gives me like the sense of what a dream could be like. I know a lot of people tell me about their dreams and everything, and it's just like it's something that does take away from me, and it's just nice to put something on a canvas and picture it as a dream. And with the style, as you can see, Van Gogh is a really big inspiration for me, and that's why I took literally the right side of his painting and added it to my painting Dreams Come True. And his style is probably one of my favorite ways to paint. It's just like, it kind of like takes your wrist and you just like go with the flow and you can't really mess up. So it's just something that really inspires me, and it's just a really nice way to paint.
It is. The colors are really beautiful and you get a really strong sense of movement. Have you always been artistic, and do you think you'll continue to develop your skills and perhaps choose a career that requires some creative designs in some way?
Yes, I've always been artistic ever since I was little. Whenever I'd go to my grandma, she would always put crayons in front of me and put like a little paper with a little sketch. I would always have to just color, and like I would always stay in the lines, and my grandma would always say like she's going to be artistic and everything. She's someone who I know like is going to pursue something
with drawing or coloring and everything. And I did take that to heart. She would tell me every single time I'd go to her place, and I would paint with her, and she works at Funtime Pottery. I would just go there, and I would paint and make things with her, and we would take classes together as well. And it's just something that I've always like carried with me. And then once I got into high school, I started getting into realistic kind of drawings. I tried getting better and better as the years went by. And for the career-wise, I was thinking of going into something artistic because that's what like I'm used to. And I was thinking more like interior design, designing houses and everything. I kind of have that visual of making something beautiful. Doesn't have to be on a canvas. And I also, like, I'm taking a year off as well after I graduate.
Where will you be going?
I'm staying home, but I really want to, like, get into photography as well. When I do travel, I camp a lot. Mm-hmm. I can take my camera and everything and go around and photograph some things and get into that as well.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us. It's been very interesting, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
All right, Miranda. Your elegant paintings of delicate figures and mixed media pieces incorporate themes of natural life, seasons, and places. Can you tell us what you discovered exploring your various styles and techniques, and how does bringing the natural themes into your work enhance your expression?
For the natural themes, I know I do a lot of seasons and nature because I like to put life into my art, the continuous cycle of spring and summer and fall and winter that keeps going forever, and what it is to be alive and to experience the changing seasons and the blooming flowers and the butterflies and stuff like that.
Has the experience of your class exhibition given you further insight to what may be involved in a practicing career as an artist or curator, perhaps a sense of whether or not you'd like to pursue a path in the art field?
Whether or not I pursue a path in the art field, I feel like I'm never going to stop doing art. It's become such a huge part of who I am and how I look at things that even if I wanted to stop, I don't think I could.
Do you do a lot of sketches, and then do you do a lot of detailed work with colors?
I probably should do a lot of sketches and preliminary things, but I usually just start going, and the things that you don't expect turn out nice always turn out the best. Like if you do something on a really nice canvas and expect it to look good, it'll probably not look good. And if you do something on a scrap piece of paper during math class and it ends up really nice.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your perspective and your ideas with us. And I wish you good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, Susan.
All right, Livia. In your carefully detailed portrait renditions and mixed media sculptural pieces, you express your fascination with science and nature as well as observations of people. It looks like you like to use warm yellow tones. Can you describe your process and how you use yellow and warm colors and the technique you explored, for example, in the buzzing sound you hear in the summer and maybe another one that you really enjoyed?
Yes, for sure. For the buzzing sound here in the summer, I actually started that piece in December 2017. And it being cold in December, I wanted to feel that summer's heat. And my initial intentions were to portray how happy and warm I feel when I am standing in the sun. And when I am standing in the sun, I feel like there is an internal light shining from within, as well as I feel like I am getting a hug from my nan. I wanted the viewers to feel this same internal warmth, so I chose the monochromatic yellow color scheme. And as for the bees, I wanted the picture to look very calm and serene. And I have this memory associated with bees and calmness. One time in grade 7, I was delivering a speech to the entire school, and my grandma told me to fixate my attention on one aspect and just keep remembering that object and you'll get through your speech. So when I was practicing outside one day, I saw this little bee buzzing around a purple flower, and all I could think about was that one bee in my speech. And every time I think about it, I just think of that calming presence that it brings. So I wanted to include those bees in my picture to bring that serene effect. And as for the scientific approach, my love for science is something that has grown over the past years of me being in the IB program. So I just was inspired by Charles Darwin's illustrations in his sketchbook. But in the beginning, I really had no intentions of this woman representing myself. She was just there to represent how the sun makes me feel. But as I added more and more personal aspects, things that had personal meaning, like the bees, the halo, and the color yellow, I soon realized that this was a portrait of myself.
And have your studies and experience preparing for and presenting this exhibition given you a clearer or different idea on what art means to you and perhaps to your cultural and national history?
It hasn't broadened my horizons on anything that means something to my culture at all, but definitely to myself. from this exhibition, I realized that artwork should reflect the artist in some way. And working on my little Edie piece, I wanted her to look like the identical picture image from the Grey Gardens movie. But I realized that there's no point in making an exact copy because I could just print off the photo that way and it would still do its justice. However, copying the photo was very good technically because I got to work on value and shading and using different pencils to achieve that. But in the end, I didn't know what the purpose was making a copy because it already exists. So adding my own personal aspects have helped me stray away from the idea that art does not have to be identical. And bringing those personal aspects also creates more interpretations and analysis and a deeper personal connection.
In trying to get away from something that is too much of replication, is that where you came up with the ideas for the sculptural piece, Open Skull with Flowers?
Yes, I was researching the Vanitas movement. Lots of the pictures were just oil paintings done of skulls or clocks or violins, and I wanted to create my own interpretation of it and kind of explore different medias, and I did a sculpture instead.
So you used a skull, and did you use any particular book?
No, I just used a book, actually. It had no personal meaning at all. It looked good, and the skull fit well on it, so I used it. But if I were to do it again, I think I would use a book that had a little bit more meaning to me.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your story with us, and I wish you good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. So we have Anna with us, and you have a sensitive style and creative approach for capturing moments in your photographs that compose your photographic journal of the people you know or encounter and the experiences you've had. Can you tell us what techniques you experimented with to enhance your subjects and compositions?
Yeah, so I'm kind of one of those people that don't find that editing really enhances my work and that I don't think it should be needed to make it better. So I don't edit my photos at all. So I have a technique of using the world almost as my own editing program. And so I will go out at a specific time of day when the lighting is right for whatever thing I'm trying to capture. And I will also go from a bunch of different angles to see how the light will look on whatever it is I'm capturing, as well as I will go out, like, it's very, very specific as to when I will take my pictures to make sure that it doesn't have to be edited and it will just be a natural, raw beauty with it. So with all of that, I wait for a specific time and have the patience before I can actually capture it.
And have you always been interested in photography? And do you think you'll continue to develop your skills and perhaps choose a career that requires some creative designs in some way?
I actually became, I would say, fully artistic at the beginning of grade 9 because I was kind of forced into it with my own personal experiences with not being able to continue with sports and athletic sports. And so I was kind of forced to find a different route to kind of find happiness for myself. So that began in grade 9 when I heard that our school had such a great art program. And I thought this would be a new way for me to kind of get through my emotions and everything that of what was happening. And I'm hoping that I will probably always continue with my photography. I don't know if I will do too much of anything else artistically. I might still sketch and stuff, but I think photography will always be around. And it's kind of a long-shot dream that it would be awesome to be a National Geographic photographer someday and just go around the world and take pictures of different things.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your perspective and story. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to share your stories and insight to your artistic discoveries and innovative artworks, and I'd like to wish you all the best in your future endeavors. That was the student artist of the International Baccalaureate Visual Arts Program at Neyland High School speaking with us from Brandon. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5. Our guest this evening is René Boitel, the senior conservator at the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, which houses the largest collection of works by the 19th century Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh. René completed his master's in archaeology and art history from the University of Leiden in Amsterdam. He continued at the Maastricht SRAL Institute, specializing in the conservation and restoration of paintings, sculptures, historic interiors, contemporary and modern artworks, and has been a guest conservator at the J. Paul Getty Museum in the U.S. René has been a conservator at the Van Gogh Museum for over 20 years, preserving and restoring works by Van Gogh and specializing in works by other artists in the museum's Caron collection. The Van Gogh Museum Foundation Conservation Studio houses high-quality microscopic and photographic facilities devoted to researching techniques, methods, and improvement in the quality of technical examination for conserving the collection. Renée is speaking with us tonight for a conservator's perspective of the art of conservation. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us today. Conservation is the hidden art behind the extended life of many of our most treasured artworks and cultural objects. If we were to visit you and go behind the scenes of your work, what would we find most fascinates you as you engage in restoring the works of the masters in the collection of the museum?
Well, in trying to understand what we are looking at, we look into the entire biography of the object, meaning we look into the materials and the techniques used by the artist. We're also looking at what happened to the object after it left the artist's studio, meaning who bought it, where was it kept, where has it been, and what happened to it during previous treatments. And that is an aspect that still fascinates me.
And can you tell us about your formal training?
Originally, I was trained as an art historian at the University of Leiden. And much as I love that particular program and I love art history, I wanted to know more about the technical and physical aspects of the object. And the new program in the Netherlands for conservation of paintings and painted objects, and I applied and I got in. It involved 3 years of theory and some minor treatments, and getting involved into the more basic principles of conservation treatments, and also 2 years of internships, which I did at the Frans Hals Museum in Haarlem and the Stedelijk Museum in Amsterdam. And my final year was at the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam.
So, along with your intuitive knowledge, there's many tools of conservation, scientific methods, and highly advanced technological tools that are invaluable for your analysis and work. How do you determine the best approach to an object that comes under your care?
Well, obviously, each object needs its own approach because each object is unique and has its own biography, and the best approach, I would say, was to do extensive preliminary research to understand what it needs. The object, after all, will tell you what's going wrong. There's never a fixed approach. There's always getting into the specifics of each individual object. And that will hopefully determine a clear approach to what is intended and what is needed.
Can you give us an example of a project that you worked on and what you found most rewarding about that?
Well, earlier this year, I found very rewarding a treatment of an oil sketch on paper by Eugène Delacroix, dated 1850, which is an important object for our collection because it is a preliminary work for a ceiling that Delacroix was commissioned to do in one of the galleries of the Louvre Museum. And we know from his letters that Van Gogh saw that ceiling and he was in awe and very enthusiastic about that particular ceiling. So when this oil sketch came on the market, we bought it. And that was a fantastic addition to our collection. The oil sketch is painted on paper, but it showed some disturbing conservation issues. And in collaboration with a paper conservator, I decided then to treat it to make sure that those conservation issues did not damage the painting any further. In particular, we were dealing with bulge deformations of the paper and with a very ugly synthetic varnish on top of the surface. And we know from records that Delacroix didn't want his oil sketches to be varnished. So that was quite challenging to deal with these deformations and with the aesthetic issues. So I did this treatment with a paper conservator, and it involved a large amount of thinking and discussion.
So at the museum, they have a research project, the Reassessing Vincent van Gogh. Can you tell us what may have been discovered in this research, and has there been any surprising outcomes?
Well, the project finished last year, and one of the main results of that research is that we gained a lot of additional information about the original appearance of the colors that Van Gogh used. We know that the colors he used were not always very stable and have darkened or faded in the course of time. So the Revigo project aimed to assess all of this and see if it were possible to reconstruct or revisualize digitally what the original appearance could have been. Myself, I've not been part of that project, but I do understand that it was both rewarding in terms of gaining much more information about the original appearance, about the original materials that Van Gogh has used, but also how complex it is to really reconstruct and come up with a possible overall image of how the painting might have looked originally. One of the main painted subjects, part of the Revigo project, was the view of Arles with the irises in the foreground. But also, I should add that a lot of works on paper and letters have been included in that project. As far as the works on paper are concerned, the Revigo project, this whole research and digital reconstruction, has shown that the drawings originally had much more contrast and much more color in them. Whereas the paintings, yes, we know that, for example, some of the yellows and some of the purples now look very different. The academic and scientific process, though, has shown that this is only a baby step. This is a progress in the advancement of our understanding of how these objects age and how they look different from how they looked when Vincent painted them. I'm sure this is a way forward. I'm sure that in 10, 20 years' time, this whole research will be much more efficient and straightforward. But at this time, we're still struggling to understand if this is really how the paintings must have looked like.
What advice might you suggest for graduates that would like to work in the field of conservation?
Well, obviously, to stay open-minded and be curious all the way throughout your whole career, and also to see as much collections and temporary exhibitions and storage rooms and conservation studios as much as you can, because all these experiences, all these visual experiences, will become a perfect basis for your future career.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your advice and insight on the behind the scenes of the art of conservation. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.